Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Life here on this earth is wonderful, is it not? Being able to have and to be loved by family and friends, and then to be able to extend our love to those who love us. Certainly what a blessing it is in life. And what do we think in regard to life here and those who touch our lives, and that hopefully we're able to touch their lives in a very positive way? I think of some of the very great days that come about, such as births, and how that we celebrate the birth of our children and our children's children and children just universally. They bring great excitement to our lives. And then in like figure, we celebrate graduations from kindergarten, from junior high school maybe, and high school and college, and other special studies in and throughout the course of life. And we celebrate weddings, opportunities where a man and a woman are joined together in the sight of God and in the sight of a company who rejoices with them whenever they begin their life and their walk with one another. And we celebrate also anniversaries, and especially those who reach that milestone of 50 years together. As a husband and wife who love each other, there are indeed great days as we face here in this world. But good people, today as I stand before you, I tell you that none of these days even start to compare to that great day, that great and glorious day that our God assures us is coming in the future. The Bible tells us that the end is indeed coming, and in this we understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is coming again. The Bible identifies for us in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 that in the same manner in which Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, He will descend again, and mankind will see Him indeed in that day. We are told in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 that as New Testament Christians, we are to anticipate and to look forward to the coming day of our great God and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good people, in that day, the Bible tells us that there will be no signs concerning the coming of Christ, as what some people in premillennial dispensationalists assert. They believe, as is taught by them in the book of Matthew chapter 24, that there are signs that are leading up to the coming day in which Christ will come. However, according to what we find in the context of what's going on there, good people, these things speak in regard to the fall of Jerusalem and the signs that the Christians in that day needed to look for so that they were not caught up in that great and devastating destruction of Jerusalem and all that took place there in its fall. But what we do learn, good people, in regard to the day of our Lord and Savior is that there will be no signs. In fact, the Bible asserts to us that Jesus Himself does not know, and no man knows, only the Father who is in heaven. Matthew 24 and verse 36. But also according to what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, that Jesus Christ will come as a thief in the night. There will be no signs, no indication concerning when Jesus Christ is coming again. But good people, what we do need to understand is that we need to always be ready to understand and to fully believe that without any question at all, Jesus Christ is coming again. And whenever He comes, we need to also understand is that it will be audible and visible. No one will miss out on Jesus Christ coming. It is not going to be a rapture, a taking away of a few, but rather, good people, a resurrection concerning all. And we learn in regard to this is that He will come with great noise and with great visual to all of mankind. When Jesus comes, all will be able to see and to hear that He is present and that the great judgment day is upon us. Whenever Jesus Christ does come again, the Bible tells us that God will act in vengeance. In fact, we understand, as it taught in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, mankind is not to avenge those who deal wrongfully with us while we live here upon the face of the earth. Why? Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And good people, whenever Christ indeed comes, we understand, as it taught by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, he says that He will come in vengeance, taking vengeance upon those who do not know God. He will come in flaming fire. And good people, we need to understand in regard to whenever Christ comes, in the end, that the world will be no more. As Peter taught in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, in that day, all of this earth will melt with fervent heat. Good people, when we think in regard to the coming of Christ, also there's a great resurrection that will be in that day. Jesus Christ, according to what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23, became the first fruit. And whenever Christ returns, there will indeed be a great and glorious resurrection in that day. Who will be raised first? Good people, the Bible identifies for us that the saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and have lived their life faithful even unto the point of death, those who now are being comforted in paradise, the Bible identifies for us that the dead in Christ will be raised first. But good people, understand that they will not be the only ones who are raised in that day. In like figure, the lost. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, that all who are in the grave, both the good and the evil, will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, those who have sinned against God, those who have never obeyed the gospel, those who are outside of the body of Christ, will come forth unto eternal damnation. In that day, the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then those who are lost in like figure, they shall be raised. And the Bible also tells us that those who are alive, there will indeed be people who are living whenever Jesus Christ returns, and those who are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You see, in that context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, we understand, as is taught in a number of other places, Jesus is not coming to step foot upon this earth again. He will not do that. He will not come and establish a physical earthly kingdom in His coming. Why? Because, good people, His kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual kingdom, an eternal kingdom. And in the context here, we also learn in regard to that, when Christ comes concerning the resurrection, that those who do remain alive, those who are living in that day, that they will be caught up. They will go up to be with the Lord in the air. And according to what we find in regard to that day, good people, there will be great changes. We've already mentioned that the earth will melt in fervent heat, but there will be changes in regard to mankind. We will not take this physical, fleshly body into heaven. Why? Because this body cannot enter into the spiritual realm. And for that reason, the Bible identifies for us that we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like that. We will put on a whole new body. And somebody says, Kevin, what is that body going to look like? Good people, the Bible does not identify for us exactly what it is that we will look like. But what we do understand, as is taught in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, is that we will be like Jesus. We will be like Him in a spiritual body, in a spiritual realm, standing before the Almighty God in the judgment day. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "And it is appointed a man once to live, and then after this is the judgment." You see, good people, the Bible tells us that there will indeed be a worldwide, universal judgment. In the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, Paul, in speaking to the saints at Rome, says, "Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess." Mankind might think that he's able to escape God, even to dismiss God while he resides here in this world. But the Bible tells us, good people, that there will be a day of reckoning, that there will be indeed a day when mankind, every soul that ever has, that is presently or that will ever live here upon the face of the earth, will indeed stand before God. To do what? To give a personal account of our life here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, that we will give an account for the good as well as for the evil that we have committed here in this world. Individually, we will stand before God. And in standing before God, we will indeed not only recognize that He is, but in like figure that His Word was indeed the authority while mankind lived here on this world. And because it is the authority that man individually was responsible for knowing God and to understanding God, and in this then in like figure in obeying God. And man will give an account of whether or not he has done that. To have accepted Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God by submitting themselves to have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and also whether or not we have lived our life faithful to Him even to the very end. Good people, it will be an exhaustive judgment and experience in that day. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, we understand, in the day when God will judge the secrets of man, according to my gospel, according to the gospel of Christ, there may be things that man hides in life. There may be secrets that an individual is able to hold on to and to keep that they think only they themselves know. They've been able to keep it from their family. They've been able to keep it from those who are closest of friend or kin. And in like figure, maybe they've been able to hide things from the church. But good people, understand that whenever we stand before God in judgment, all of those secrets, all of those things that have not been confessed, all of those sins that have not been washed away in the blood of Christ, those things will indeed be brought out whenever we stand before God. Why do I say that? According to what we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, all things are naked and revealed in the sight of God. God sees everything. He knows our heart. He's able to look inwardly to who we are, not only to see the exterior actions that we do in life, but He's able to look inwardly to our heart, to the soul, to the mind of mankind. And in that day, all of those things will be brought out. And good people, the judgment will be irrevocable. It will be final. Whenever a man stands before God in judgment, if he is saved, he is saved. And if he is lost, he is lost. In the day that Christ comes, that great and glorious day, it will indeed be a wonderful, a great day like none other for the Christians. Why? Because the Bible tells us that in that day, we will go to heaven. Amen? We will go to heaven, a place that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has prepared. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus told the apostles, "Let not your hearts be troubled, for if you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for those who prepare themselves for that eternal reward during the course of our life here. And good people, that place is prepared for us in heaven. And He says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." Jesus says that He's coming again. And good people, to those who are faithful in Christ, He says that where I am, there you may be also. Where is Jesus? He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, reigning on high. And He says, for those who are faithful in Him, for those who have been baptized and who live their life committed to Him, who love God, who reach out to the souls of mankind, who love one another, who seek to live their life in an upright, moral, holy, righteous, and godly manner throughout the course of their life, He says, heaven will be your eternal reward. Good people, in this, we understand is that it is a wonderful place where we will be in the very presence of God, where there will be no tearing, or no tears, no heartache, no pain. We worked yesterday over here with our youth painting, and I was painting that little hallway back there, the ceiling area. And I got home last night where I was kind of crunched over on a ladder, and I had to take Tylenol arthritis. I don't think I'll need that in heaven. There'll be no pain there. What a wonderful picture God presents to those who are in Him. Amen. It will be a great day knowing that we will be eternally in heaven with God. No one, nothing will be able to take that away from us. We will be there. It will be our final abode. Heaven in the very presence of God, worshiping Him, praising Him, and being comforted by Him without end. But the Bible also identifies for us, good people, that there is another great part of that day. And it's not great in any sense of the imagination, is that it will be a day of celebration. but it's great in regard to the number who will find that they are lost and that they will be sentenced to condemnation in hell. The Bible tells us that that is a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the Bible also tells us in regard to that place, good people, is that it too shall be eternal. The Bible in nowhere indicates total annihilation. And what I mean by that is that whenever a man is dead, he's dead and there's no more to him. But rather, the Bible indicates and the Bible promises that there is within each of us a soul that lives while we are here and a soul that will continue to live in eternity. And for those who are in Christ, it is indeed a blessing to know that we will someday be with our God to celebrate that wonderful day of our faithfulness with Him. But then in like figure, that soul that finds itself, that is sentenced to hell, number one, will get what it deserves. And then in like figure, it will be there eternally. But you see, today, while an individual may say that I'm lost, indeed that's not what our God wants. And it's certainly not what His people wants either. While we live here in this world, we have an opportunity to repent and come home. We have an opportunity to change our destiny. And the way in which we do that is by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then living our life, not for self, not for others, not for the world, but living our life in the direction that God commands us to go. And today, as we conclude, I ask, are you ready for that great day?